You're listening to Design Atlas Season 4.
Have you ever paused to consider the evolving and converging landscape of creativity and innovation from an environmental perspective? Melissa Mbugua is a visionary entrepreneur who stands at the forefront of shaping the next generation of creative ventures.
With a passion for imagining, designing, and building, Melissa's work is dedicated to providing upcoming Africans worldwide with greater cultural and economic freedom. Her expertise lies at the intersection of technology, business, development, and culture, reflecting a holistic approach addressing the challenges of our evolving world.
In a time where global systems are undergoing significant shifts, Melissa focuses on seeding ventures that tackle pressing issues, particularly those in the forefront of climate sustainability and the digital society. Her collaborative spirit extends to a global network leveraging diverse perspectives to drive innovation and positive change. Throughout her journey, Melissa is committed to centering the African narrative, ensuring that the stories and contributions of the continent are recognized and amplified on the global stage.
At the time of this recording, Melissa was the co-director for Creatives for Climate, an innovative initiative at the intersection of art, design, and environmental consciousness. The movement serves as a dynamic platform that harnesses the collective power of creatives worldwide to address and advocate for climate sustainability.
This movement brings together artists, designers, and visionaries who are committed to using their skills and talents to inspire change and raise awareness about pressing environmental issues. While Melissa no longer works at Creatives for Climate, she continues to be a driving force in the creative space with other initiatives.
Hailing from the vibrant city of Nairobi, Kenya, her roots may be firmly anchored in the bustling streets of Nairobi, but her story and impact stretch far beyond geographical boundaries.
In the rhythm of her life, Nairobi serves as a home base, a centering force that grounds her amidst the whirlwind of a truly global existence. Born and raised in the heart of Kenya's capital, Melissa's journey unfolds against the backdrop of a city alive with diversity, culture, and the unmistakable energy of urban life.
Yet, as she extends her reach beyond the borders of Nairobi, her work emerges as a tapestry woven on the loom of global collaboration.
Melissa's endeavors are not confined by her limitations of a singular location. Rather, they dance across the international stage. Her endeavors are not just about places, they're about people, conversations, and the richness that emerges when diverse minds come together.
I work in, it's interesting. So I consider myself my skill set like a toolbox. Because I have such varying interests, and so I've picked up kind of skills, knowledge, and networks along the way in the tech side. So my training in universities in business and tech and IT, and then I worked as a project manager, a software project manager, and then from there kind of developed an interest in international development, social innovation. And so ended up working on projects. So ended up studying actually development for my master's. So politics, how NGOs work, how aid works, society basically, and governance. And then ended up working after that in the governance space, but for civic technology. So still supporting technology innovation in Africa and Asia, but specifically that governance bent with how do we build tech that is inclusive and that connects, brings citizens and governments closer together. Just my curiosity led me down a rabbit hole, so deep down the rabbit hole that I ended up collaborating with the team at Creatives for Climate. And at the time, Creatives for Climate was just beginning to scale up. It had started in 2019 before the pandemic, and then in 2020 became a community platform, you know, and started working towards registering as a formal nonprofit out of, kind of, it started in Amsterdam, but the movement is global. And so now I'm a director at Creatives for Climate, and what my like assignment is that, and what I work on a lot and what I think about is how to harness this power of creativity, communication. You know, there's so much power for with people who are working in media and in the digital space.
So who exactly can be a part of Creatives for Climate? Well, the answer is refreshingly simple. It's anyone who identifies as a creative spirit. But when you peel back the layers, it's about more than just individual creativity. At its core, it's a network that beckons professionals in the expansive realm of communications and storytelling, and it's not just for those already entrenched in these fields, it's a welcoming embrace for anyone aspiring to connect through the powerful medium of communication. Consider it like a dynamic ecosystem, where Creatives for Climate acts as the connective tissue weaving together individuals from diverse backgrounds and experiences. This network is a collective powerhouse, a melting pot of skills and perspectives held together by a shared purpose: to wield the influence of creative professionals in communications like a force for positive change. In this inclusive realm, you'll find PR, advertising, and media professionals, all contributing to a mosaic as broad as the spectrum of their expertise. It's a call to action, an invitation to take meaningful steps, deploying their skills, sharing their knowledge, and positioning oneself as an asset. It's about harnessing the collective prowess of storytellers to propel the climate movement forward, one compelling narrative at a time.
Some of the work that Creatives for Climate does is we have a platform, a network, you know, members platform that's free to join. And on there, you can find loads and loads of resources from that answers, you know, questions such as like, what is greenwashing? How to, and for example, like toolkits on like how to push back against greenwashing if you're working for a brand that's greenwashing and you're the one responsible for that brand comms, you know, things like those. Very practical. It's a very practical, it's a space for comms professionals to really get practical support in an everyday kind of way. And then we also do offer courses. We create and implement courses that support, again, this stepping up for climate action. How do I push back against it? How do I communicate against greenwashing? So things like that. So we have an academy, we have a, you know, virtual network platform that's also a resource hub. And we also run like regular kind of topical community events. Yeah. So it was founded by Lucy Von Stemmer, who's a PR, she's the PR expert. Creatives for Climate in 2020 really became a global movement, global community, and formally registered as a nonprofit. Yeah, and so the model is pretty much that it's made up of chapters in different cities. So for example, there'd be New Zealand chapter, and I'm trying to set up like a chapter here in Kenya.
Let's dive into how Creatives for Climate operates. It's like a well-oiled machine, seamlessly linking local and global efforts. Basically, a project takes root in a specific community, tackling its unique challenges, and then extends its reach to the broader global creative community. One notable project for Melissa was in New Zealand, which centered around bees. Not your typical beekeeping venture, though. This one focuses on preserving a natural farming method dubbed noise farming. No, the bees aren't wearing headphones. It's about farming practices in tune with the environment, a symphony of cultivation that respects the land's natural rhythm. The New Zealand project is a prime example of how Creatives for Climate adapts, finding resonance locally and echoing globally. So think of it not just as a network, but as a dynamic ecosystem where projects like the one in New Zealand sprout, connect, and contribute to a global conversation on climate consciousness.
And so the community came together and ran a campaign, very local. Like there was outdoor advertising in Auckland. It was very local and mostly offline because it was meant to drive action around this particular law and voting against it. And this worked. And so through collaboration with C4C members, Creators for Climate members, they implemented this campaign and it actually worked. They were successful in preventing what they didn't want to happen from not happening. So that's one example that really shows the power of access to like-minded people who have different skill sets and who are willing to volunteer. Because a lot of that work was done, below market rate or pro bono. And then it's also so cool that you see, like, of course, I've described it to you, but in a way that's not detailed because I've never been to New Zealand.
Tackling the challenge of conveying scientific insights about the environment to drive change in the global climate movement is no small feat. In the realm of activism and beyond, one of the most formidable hurdles is articulating the complexities of climate science in a way that resonates with diverse audiences. For scientists and seasoned activists entrenched in the climate movement, the struggle lies in distilling the intricate details into layman's terms. How do you convey the urgency of climate change to your neighbor or rally a local community to take action? It's a communication conundrum that demands a strategic approach to engage and mobilize people from all walks of life. So the team at Creatives for Climate had this grand idea.
Why don't we create a course together with them? We get them to facilitate it, record, you know, it's a MOOC, it's an online course. People can, you know, for a small fee, take this course. It's a way for people to carry out self-directed learning. Two, it amplifies and really digs deeper. It allows us to dig deeper within the expertise of people in the community. And three, it's also a way to generate revenue within the ecosystem itself. We are not charging people kind of. It's not meant to be exclusive. Like, it's not meant to be like we're a for-profit. And so we're charging you a premium for these courses, but then they do cost to make. There are costs involved. And so it's also a way to generate revenue. And what we found also is that there are organizations, like, for example, brands that are interested in paying to have their teams be taken through these courses, let's say in like live sessions rather than self-directed, you know? So that's an experiment that we tried, and it was so well received that we realized, oh, this is a really cool and relevant aspect of the work. Continuous knowledge generation, because we're also, I think in the climate movement and in much of the world right now, really, it feels, and I think we're at a place where we need, nobody really has everything figured out. You know, we are kind of all relearning and learning as we go. So these quick courses that are community generated are a way for us to document what we are learning and scale the access to it, to knowledge, yeah.
In the pursuit of a common goal, the landscape is shifting. What's becoming increasingly evident is the emergence of climate communications and narratives that bear significance, forward thinking, and a commitment to propelling climate justice. As we navigate this transformation, the aim is clear: to contribute our part in fostering a movement that transcends boundaries. The vision is grand: to influence a shift that not only resonates industry-wide, but permeates the global communications landscape. It's about redefining norms and reshaping the common space to create a universe of communication that echoes the urgency of climate action. So how can you join the Creators for Climate global community?
Yes, well, the first step to take is to head on to www.creatorsforclimate.co and join the membership space, the membership platform. Join the network, it's free. Secondly, especially for students, take the courses. So right now in the Creatives for Climate Academy, which you'll find on the website, has two courses. One is Positioning for Purpose and the other is the Greenwash Watch. Those are, I think, fundamental for if you're a student now and you're thinking you want to prepare yourself for your career in the creative industries. This will give you like the 101 and really equip you to be ahead of the curve and to be able to move into your career with the awareness and the language of that's very kind of on the edge.
You can also start your own Creatives for Climate chapter in your local area.
Yes, so to start your chapter, what you have to do, or rather all you need to do, is let us know, on the community platform that, hey, you're interested in starting a chapter, or you can contact the team, and you can easily find who the team is, like once you're on the community platform. Say you're interested in starting a chapter. And of course, the first step before you kind of commit to like saying you're a chapter is to start organizing people, gather people, do an event, you know, and it can be kind of as simple or as fancy as you can make it, you know. So we don't require you to have like big budgets, fancy kind of a big event with hundreds of people for your first event or even for your subsequent events. It just has to be kind of start where you are with what you have. Find a theme. What we do is we provide support with, you know, kind of branding support. We have brand guides. We support you with how to communicate and promote the event. We can support you with like how to craft the programming of it. And of course, you can tap into the community for performers, panelists, you know, masterclass facilitators, etc. So the first step, if you want to start a local chapter, hit us up on the community platform. Let us know what you're thinking. We'll have a conversation with you, give you the guidelines. But the best thing for you to start doing now is to think about what your first event could look like.
The beauty of what Creatives for Climate does lies in the ability to shape the narrative and set the table for discussions that truly matter. For Melissa, it's a source of joy because in creating the metaphorical table, she has the power to center the issues that deserve the spotlight. In the realm of the climate movement, it's crucial to ensure diverse voices, perspectives, and non-traditional decision makers that have a seat at the table. It's about broadening the conversation, dismantling the traditional norms, and inviting everyone to partake in the decision-making process.
For Melissa, sustainable design isn't just a process, it's a philosophy. It begins by centering the individual who encounters the very problem the design seeks to address. But here's the thing, it's not a one-size-fits-all scenario. Sustainable design acknowledges the multiplicity of perspectives, understanding that there's not just one kind of person. In essence, designing sustainably is about crafting solutions that resonate with the diverse experiences of those who interact with it. It's a deliberate and thoughtful approach, ensuring that the design isn't just a solution, but a harmonious fit for all it touches.
So if it's like a car, like it upsets me so much because the other day I was reading about how cars are still designed for male bodies. So even like the crash test dummies, etc. I'm like, no wonder I get these pains and weird, like whenever I'm in traffic. I was like, I thought it was me. Yeah. And so it's like, okay, so cars are still technically being designed for male bodies of a certain height. And so even I'm guessing there's a lot of males who are also left out. Yeah. So and that's not sustainable. So the big challenge, I think, for us in our time who are working in design is to really spend that extra time, that extra effort, and, you know, put in that extra investment into as much as we can solving the problem in this very specific ways that the different people are experiencing them, that we are designing for. And of course, not everything is possible in one moment, you know, because maybe the technology is not available, maybe it's too expensive, it doesn't make economic sense at this point, for example, to like do some things. But kind of just leave the cliff notes there, or the step-by-step guide for the next generation of designers to come and pick up where you left off. And this cuts across every facet of life. I don't think that the built world should be separating us from nature. So I think we have a lot of like undoing work to, you know, designers, because we live in apartments that close us off from nature, all the many problems which are now global, like we all face.
Resting is an integral part of the creative process. It's not just downtime, it's a deliberate act that contributes to the pursuit of excellence in creativity. The notion that resting is an essential part of the effort to be an outstanding creative might seem counterintuitive, but we've all experienced that magic moment. The moment we return to a project or a problem after a restful night or a rejuvenating break. The productivity skyrockets and the quality of our work ascends to new heights in a surprisingly short span. So, in the realm of creativity, remember, rest isn't a pause. It's a crucial chapter in the ongoing narrative of becoming your best as a creative.
But then we live in a system that's built into us that we need to just push hard, 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 long, 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 and that resting is for the weak, resting is for those who have no ambitions, all those like negative beliefs and myths. Yet again, it connects also to what I had said earlier about we are natural organisms. Like human beings are, we are not machines. And especially those of us whose professional lives are focused on our creativity, you can't rush or kind of pressure cook or force good ideas. There's a stuff that comes fast, but there's also a lot that comes slowly. And I think it's very hard for the logical system to accept that creativity and being natural is just, you just have to trust the process. and that's hard when, you know, results are like kind of measured quarterly and annually. It's like, so it's by no means easy. I'm not in any way trying to say that it's easy for us to shift our individual systems as creatives.
And so, we conclude this captivating episode delving into the life and insights of Melissa Mbugua, a force seamlessly bridging the realms of creativity, sustainability, and global impact.
From the vibrant streets of Nairobi to the far-reaching corridors of global collaboration, Melissa's journey exemplifies the power of creative expression in the pursuit of positive change. As we bid farewell, let her narrative resonate, a testament to the boundless possibilities when creativity intertwines with purpose.
Join us in celebrating the vibrant tapestry of Melissa's endeavors, and may her story and her next steps in her career journey inspire us all to craft a future where creativity becomes the catalyst for a more sustainable and interconnected world. For information about Melissa Mbugua, visit our website designatlaspod.com. Don't forget to follow our show on Instagram at designatlaspod or join our Slack community. All these details and more can be found in the show notes of this episode. Love what we're doing on Design Atlas? Make sure you give us a positive review on your favorite podcast streaming platform. We'd really appreciate your support. Stay tuned for our next episode, which launches next Thursday, featuring Gareth Hughes, a Welsh design director residing in Amsterdam, specializes in shaping brand and digital experiences for environmentally conscious projects. With over 12 years of diverse expertise, he has led design teams globally and mentored emerging creatives. Driven by a mission to collaborate with climate and socially conscious organizations, in 2022, Gareth embarked on a new journey, combining his skills to address the urgent challenge of climate change. Firmly believing that creative minds bear a responsibility to be a part of the solution. You're listening to Design Atlas, Season 4.